Thank you, Lisa. And I'm going to take 1 minute to introduce myself and say who I am and why they decided I should be up here talking to you. So my name is Amelia Cobb. I'm the president of the Wright Group. I'm also a principal investigator of a few other violence against women initiatives and HIV. I'm also adjunct at George Washington University Medical Center School of Public Health. Today I'm going to be talking to you about a pilot project that was launched by the Office on Women's Health, and I have a few slides here just to go over the overarching initiative, but if you have questions, we have a question and answer session at the end. I'm going to try to go through the slides as expeditiously and as short a time as possible to leave room for the other presenters. So if you have questions, I will be after, and feel free to ask questions during the 15 period. Do I just press that? Right click? Okay. Okay. So this is my disclosure statement as outlined on the abstract form. Training objectives in general is to identify some of the cultural issues considering the African American community on HBCU campuses, describing the risk factors that lead young African American women's vulnerability to violence, describe key elements of social marketing among HBCU students, identify and discuss some of the components of the project for training and university officials, and identify local partnerships and resources to support the development of violence and prevention activities. I'm gonna kind of bob and weave out of this a little bit. So again, if you have any questions, feel free to ask me at the end. Ending Violence Against Women, the HBCU project, started in 2008. It was actually funded through a small business contract through the Office of Women's Health. And we've been successful in being able to gain financial support services around that for 2 years on this specific project, specifically focused on violence. While the project did include components of health services as it relates to screening for all forms of violence against women, today I'm just gonna be talking to you specifically about violence prevention and some of the bystander student-led activities. We developed a mission in year two around ending violence against women because we realized how much of a less resource HBCUs had, and this is the mission that the partners, which I'll describe later, adopted for the 12-month or 24-month period. To build a campus environment where violence against women is not tolerated, and a campus coordinated response to support both female survivors of violence and male batterers slash perpetrators, and accessing help is the norm. And I really want to stress the bottom part, because one thing about this project, unlike other projects that a lot of the HBCU campuses have taken on, is the engagement of men in the process of ending violence against women, which is very crucial, and we continue to see, particularly on certain HBCU campuses, is very serious. Click. Did a good job. Okay. So the goals of the project were really quickly to develop an educational awareness outreach component, which we use bystander interventions, provide technical assistance to the campus police, residence life staff on addressing this from a gender-based violence issue. Campus police and residence life staff often, as I'm sure some of you in the audience know, receive training, but they really don't receive cultural training and violence-based prevention training specifically. So we tailored that campus to campus, region by region. And region was really important. Looking at the cultural impact of the African American community alone, as it relates to women and the lack of resources, and also the cultural context in which African American women are impacted by violence, is also taken to an HBCU campus at the same time. HBCU campus and the populations of that we have found often range anywhere between 75 to 25 or 30 to 70, which means the impact from some of our assessments that we've done on campuses focusing on not only the value of men, but also the susceptibility that college-age African-American women will stay and maintain in a violent relationship to have that kinship or courtship while they are on campus. Most college students, this is the first time they've ever had what they call an adult relationship, and they're out of their environment with their parents making decisions. So I just wanted to highlight that. Lastly, a component of ours is established on college campuses is a student-led task force. We changed the task force from being campus-led to student-led because what that fostered was activism among student leaders on campus for them to decide the type of programming and outreach that they really wanted to address. Oh, wait, I keep wanting to press that. So our project over the past 2 years engaged 5,300 HBCU students in at least one training, peer training, campus activity. One of the components in the student task force was to award 38 mini grants to women's groups, sororities, fraternities. We also were successful in 2 years in having celebrity involvement. Tasha Smith, Gabrielle Union, Malak Compton Rock, and Wendy Raquel Robinson are four actresses in the African American community that are very notable that gave their time to this project in promoting to end violence against women. The other highlights that we had was we were recognized by Vice President Biden's office in the White House Council on Women and Girls this past year. And lastly, engaging the discussion with Essence Magazine relationship and health editor Demetria Lucas. These are the things that cultivated our partnerships externally in all of the HBCU campuses to make us focus on different topics, but specifically sexual assault. These are the different topics that we looked at: intimate partner violence, which is inclusive of dating violence, sexual assault, rape, which I'll talk about our main project and how that really helped us to get our numbers, stalking, cyber stalking, and harassment. We sectioned out cyber stalking because there's an increase on college campuses, about 30% of cyber stalking, with Facebook, MySpace, and Twitter. And those individuals being able to find out where someone else is, our students have been reporting that. So we wanted to section that out and make a focus on that. Out of the 38 programs, we were able to address mini grants for sexual prevention, bystander awareness, intersection of HIV and sexual violence. We infused that in pop culture on the campus for National Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and that's what I'm gonna talk to you about today. Through the spring fashion shows that HBCU campus has had, their spring fling or spring fest, leading up to our main event where all the HBCUs came together to launch the second annual Denim Day at HBCUs. In addition to that, I just wanted to mention, I failed to mention, in order to become a partner, all the training, all the HBCU campuses had to undergo training. Even if they had already been trained by our project, specifically for that month, they had to undergo an 8-hour training around sexual assault, gender-based violence, and also the engagement of men. That also included reporting, their local resources, the protocol, and we also included recommendations to each campus on sexual assault specifically on things that we found that were not as accessible to students in the process or where students were not aware. Denim Day is something that some people might be familiar with that was started with Peace Over Violence. We partnered with Denim Day 2 years in a row, being a co-partner with events, but we launched it at 8 different HBCU campuses. One of the things at the bottom is the engagement of men. I kind of went over points 2 and 3. The engagement of men for Denim Day at HBCUs was really crucial. What we did is we launched a t-shirt campaign on 8 different campuses, and we were able to reach, which I'll get to in a second, over 2,900 students on one day mobilizing together to address sexual assault and taking a stance that this is an issue on HBCU campuses so that they can address it as students. These are our main campus partners at the top by memorandum of agreement that they signed with us. We did partner with one student organization at Spelman College, but we were not successful in getting a memorandum of agreement in time for the university. However, we were able to work with a student organization that was able to do just as much as the other universities were. So our focus for pre-Denim Day activities was 3 days, 3 ways campaign. The 3 ways, 3 days that you take, which is April 19th through the 21st, for our NOVAL HBCU pledge campaign. It's a pledge that students and alumni take banding together over 3 days to create this awareness. The second is you can forward it to a friend or alumni. And lastly, you can post it on your social media websites, even if you post the link. And what we found successful too is posting the link on BBM, which is your BlackBerry Instant Messenger. A lot of students have BlackBerries in college, more than we realize. So this was one of the outcomes. The campaign promotion leading up to Denim Day really looked at an email that was sent through the Vice President of Student Affairs office from 2 celebrity ambassadors encouraging men to engage and encouraging students to engage, and not only Denim Day, but really focusing on the NOVA campaign and taking a stance. What we found is you have to build momentum around the project at HBCU campuses. You really can't look at it from a perspective that telling students what to do. You have to encourage them to go somewhere, whether it's on social media, to find out what they can do and give them the option of what they can do. So some of our media outcomes, television, radio, newspaper, online, we were really successful in being able to build this over a course of 3 days. Our outcomes is we had 2,998 shirts out of 3,200 distributed. 993 students and faculty signed the pledge online. We also had hard copy forms, but this is who went and signed it online over 3 days. 200 students signed hard copies of the pledge during 1 hour, and then we have 138 faculty at one particular campus that signed it. I would also like to mention that one campus made a proclamation where the whole campus was able to wear jeans that day at one university that has 7,000 students, and that's Hampton University. We were very successful in doing that with our project. So, in short, do we have 2 minutes? Okay, so we want to thank the Office on Women's Health. I, again, will be at the end asking questions, but I really wanted to really touch on the engagement of students at HBCU campuses, specifically because most HBCUs are not able to address this because of the lack of resources that they actually have within the areas that they are actually located in, and I think it's very important to address that issue at the forefront when addressing sexual violence, because it's not something that's often discussed in the African American community, let alone in an African American college area community. While we do know the statistics are 1 in 4 women throughout her lifetime will be impacted by violence, on some campus, 3 women will be attempted some type of sexual assault. So you have to infuse everyday life cultural fun things into the project. That's one of the lessons we learned. And the last limit, I think I have 1 minute. The last limit will be, Lisa's doing a good job on time back here. One limit I would say is you have to have also an institutional sensitivity when working with historically black colleges and universities, and any university for that matter, and putting out the statistical outcomes of any pre and post perceptions and knowledge. So if anybody's actually interested in that information for HBCUs, you can see me after and I can actually email you that in a 2-pager. I didn't put it up here, but if you want that shared, I can share it and abstract out the specific names of the universities. Okay? Thank you, Lisa.